Years ago, during my first pastorate in Winchester, Virginia, I attended a conference. It was called a Prayer Renewal Weekend. I'd been to similar events before, full of hope to learn more about prayer, but usually coming away somewhat disappointed. Not this time, though. I was captivated by what the speaker said, so much so that later I got the cassette tapes that they had recorded of these sessions, and I transcribed them word for word so that I could have them for later reference. And I'm glad I did that, because I certainly don't remember all that he said, but I have them down in print. The speaker was Dr. Charles Nienkirchen. He was from Canadian Bible College, and he said this: "I have come to the conclusion that in the lives of many church-going Christians, the capacity to hear the voice of God has seriously diminished. Not only has it been seriously diminished, but there are many Christians whom I suspect do not even have the desire to hear the voice of God. When I reflect on the contemporary situation in many evangelical churches, I'm reminded of the words of the prophet Amos in Amos 8, 11 and 12. The days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, and they will not find it." This is a very discouraging scenario, particularly when you deal with many people, as I do, who have been raised in evangelical Protestant churches, who have been continually exposed to biblical preaching, yet seem strangers to the voice of God. On the other hand, there is an encouraging scenario that I am also aware of going on these days. There seems to be a renewed interest in a growing number of various denominations in this area of listening to the voice of God. It makes me stop and wonder, where do I fit in that spectrum? Do I hear the voice of God? More importantly, do I want to hear the voice of God? And I believe those words that were spoken several decades ago are still true today, maybe even more so. But there's also, I believe, still an interest in those who want to hear God's voice. They want to know what God has to say. The very inspiration for this sermon series arose from conversations at our weekly prayer meeting up at the Texas Church, where the subject of hearing God's voice was raised. And I was asked, "Have you ever preached a series on that subject?" And I had to say, "Well, maybe an individual sermon here or there, but I don't know if I've ever really dug deep into that matter." And I thought that would be a good thing to do. It's something we all need to know. And I really sense God is moving in some to spend more time listening to God's voice. So that's where we're beginning this morning. Before we get into the mechanics of listening to God's voice, though, I think there's a fundamental question that needs to be addressed, and that is this: is God speaking? If you want to hear the voice of God, is he still speaking? If he's not, then the whole thing's moot. Now, spoiler alert, I do believe God is still speaking. But I think we need to look into this and not only see how God speaks, but also to be aware of some of the abuses in this idea. Because there are some people that say, "Well, God told me to do this," and it's very clear that he didn't. So how can we avoid that? I think most Christians acknowledge their need for God's guidance. Many people regularly seek it. The problem is they're not sure that they recognize God's voice even if they hear it. And some even doubt if God speaks to anyone anymore, except maybe to a select few. Now, just a casual reading of the Bible reveals a consistent pattern of God speaking to his people. However, there are some that argue that biblical history does not necessarily translate into modern experience. Talking donkeys and burning bushes just aren't that common in our contemporary world. Nevertheless, a closer examination in the scriptures reveals that while God indeed spoke on matters of great significance through supernatural means, he also clearly communicated with people from all walks of life concerning matters of seemingly lesser importance. So, well, what significance does that hold for us today? Does God give specific guidance to people? And if so, how does he do it? And I contend that God does indeed speak to his people, but his people need to be prepared to hear what he has to say. It's crucial that Christians clearly understand that God is communicating to them and to know how to respond appropriately. The question then is not so much whether God speaks to his people, but how does he do so? Charles Stanley wrote in his book, How to Listen to God, which is something I'm using for kind of the structure of our series. He writes, I believe one of the most valuable lessons we can learn is how to listen to God. In the midst of our complex and hectic lives, nothing is more urgent, nothing more necessary, nothing more rewarding than hearing what God has to say. And the Bible is explicit. God speaks to us just as powerfully today as in the days in which the Bible was written. His voice waits to be heard, and having heard it, we are launched into the greatest, most exciting adventure we could ever imagine. But again, before we look into how to hear God's voice, we must ensure that he is indeed speaking. So I want to begin with the past question. How did God speak to his people in the past? Of course, we know about the dramatic times, like the talking donkey, like the burning bush. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the author says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So if God spoke in the past, how did he speak? And I think we can discover his ways by reviewing some of these from both the Old and the New Testament. First, God spoke by direct revelation. By his Spirit, he spoke to men and women in the past, men like Abraham, who one day heard God directly tell him to leave the land in which he was living, to go to a land that God would show him. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is a direct communication. God spoke, Abram heard. Second, the Bible says that God spoke through dreams and visions. You see this a lot in the book of Daniel, to whom God revealed his world destiny in a series of dreams and visions. Through these, Daniel was able to see the empires that were to come. God gave Daniel tremendous insight into future world events that are still in the process of unfolding today. This is a point, however, where we must be extremely careful. The Bible never tells us to pursue God's voice in dreams and visions. It is God's prerogative to speak in that way. It's not something we should actively pursue ourselves. I would also add here, not every dream we have is inspired by God. I know I don't remember most of the dreams that I have. I know I dream, but as soon as I wake up, they seem to go away. But the few that I do remember, I'm pretty sure God had less to do with it than probably what I ate right before I went to bed, right? You know, some of these crazy scenarios where you have people from different parts of your life and they're all in the same place and, you know, just weird things going on, that doesn't mean it has some deep hidden spiritual significance. Every dream you have is not from God. God has used dreams, but he doesn't always use dreams. So we've got to be careful with that. Third, God spoke through his written words, such as when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments and then used the law to communicate to his people. We know that God spoke audibly, both in the Old and the New Testaments. Remember when Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus and a bright light from heaven shone down and knocked him to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" That was the literal voice of God being heard. Fourth, God spoke through his prophets. Time and time again you see in the prophets, "Thus says the Lord," and then the prophets would speak. The Holy Spirit so infilled and used these men and women so that the very words they spoke were the words of God. Now, God spoke through their own personalities, through their own style, but they were still the words of God. Fifth, God spoke through circumstances. Remember the story of Gideon, right? He wasn't sure that he was hearing the voice of God, and so he says, I'm going to put this fleece out on the grass, and in the morning, let the fleece be wet and the grass dry. And he woke up, and sure enough, that's what had happened. And then he says, well, I want to really make sure, so for tomorrow, reverse it. And God did that for him. God did that to bolster his faith and to confirm the fact that, yes, you are hearing my voice. Once again, be careful. Don't push it. Don't think that every little thing is the voice of God through circumstances or even through dreams. I heard a couple of, you know, silly examples where someone was debating whether they should go on this trip. They'd never been out of the country. They'd never really been on a long plane ride. And they were really wrestling with, is this really God's will? They woke up one morning, turned in their digital clock, said 747, which was the airplane that was, you know, they decided that must be the will of God. Maybe someone else had a dream. They wanted to buy a car. And they wanted to know what is God's will for the car they were to purchase. And they had a dream in which everything was yellow. Everything in the dream was yellow. So they were convinced God wanted to buy them a yellow car. Turned out to be a lemon. Again, let's be careful about putting too much emphasis in the circumstances, because sometimes it's just circumstantial. But there are times when God will speak through the situations in our lives. Sixth, God spoke through angels. You see this in the events leading up to the birth of Christ. The angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph, he appeared to Mary, appeared to Zechariah the priest. There were times when angels would appear and speak God's word to people. Seventh, God often spoke through the Holy Spirit. We see this in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Paul was in his missionary journeys and again looking for direction, which way to go. And we're told that in verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So the Spirit closed the door there. When they had come to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how that happened. I don't know the mechanics of it. But in both instances, it says that it was the Spirit of God that prevailed upon them and communicated to them, no, not here. Now, maybe that also falls in the category of circumstances. You know, the circumstances may not have permitted it, and they saw through this how the Holy Spirit was working. We don't know the mechanics, but we do know that the Spirit ultimately was the one communicating. And then lastly, going back to that passage I read in Hebrews, you know, it says that God spoke in various ways, obviously, but the greatest way that he spoke was through his son, Jesus. Jesus was the one who spoke the very words of God because he was God in the flesh. He revealed the nature of God. I wonder if that's not why John, at the beginning of his gospel, referred to Jesus as the Word. You think of the Word of God. He was the voice of God in a human form that we could see and touch and hear the voice. So ultimately, God spoke through his Son. You say, well, that's nice. That was then. What about now? And this leads us to the present question. Is God speaking today? Isaiah 58, verses 9 and 11, describe the experience of God's faithful, I believe, in all ages. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. The Lord will guide you continually. I don't believe that was only in the times of the Bible. I believe that is a promise that we can have today. Some doubt that God still speaks today, but we can be thankful that God is still in the communication business. He employs four principal methods for revealing himself today to the contemporary believer. And some of these are going to sound very familiar. I believe that God's primary way of speaking to us today is through Scripture, through his revealed word. We have a complete revelation of God in the Bible. He doesn't need to add anything to this book. Throughout the time the Bible was inspired and written, God was unfolding the truth about himself to us. He was revealing himself. There's a passage in 2 Timothy 3 which says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Literally, that verse says, all scripture is God-breathed. It is the breath of God that entered into those who wrote the scriptures so that what they wrote were the very words of God. This is no ordinary book. And I know it's very popular these days to say, well, it's been translated so many times and there's books that should be in it that aren't, and blah, blah, blah. This is the Word of God. The same Spirit who inspired men to write this 2,000, 3,000 years ago has preserved it to this day. Now, are there poor translations of the Scriptures? Yes, there are. Some have agendas. Some are just poorly done. And it is up to us to be diligent in finding good, valuable translations of His Word. But they're out there. God's Word is trustworthy. If you really think about it, in the most primary of senses, the Word of God is God speaking. I remember back in Bible college, I had a professor tell me, you write just like you talk. So when I read one of your papers, I can hear your voice because that's how you write. And I have found this to be true in subsequent years. When I hear the voice of someone teaching or preaching, and then I read their works later, I can hear their voice as I'm reading their words. That's true with the Bible. When we read the Scriptures, we are hearing God's voice. This is the Word of God. So first and foremost, the way God speaks to us is through Scripture. A second method that God uses to speak to us today is through the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that every Christian, not just some, not just those with a seminary training, not just those who are, you know, really super dedicated to God, the Holy Spirit lives in every single believer. The same Holy Spirit that inspired the Scriptures. The same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus. Did you notice in that passage in Acts, one verse said the Holy Spirit, the next verse said the Spirit of Jesus. Same person. And that same Spirit lives in you and me as we follow Christ. And that Spirit speaks to us. Now, is it in an audible voice? No. It's something within. And as we progress through this series, we're going to talk a lot about quieting ourselves to hear that still small voice within us. But it is there. And it is speaking. And the Holy Spirit wants to be heard. So God speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Spirit. A third way God speaks to us is through other people. And if you think about it, the people we probably should listen to the most are the ones, as long as they're following Christ, the ones who live with us every day, the ones who see us the most. They're the ones that are going to have the most insight as to who we really are. I mean, let's face it, we can all put on an act for an hour or two. We can put our best foot forward when it's around other people, but when you're at home, you just let it all hang out, right? And it's often those people, the people that know you the best, that God will use to communicate what you need to hear. And it's probably something you don't want to hear. But it's important that we are listening. I can think of several people in my past who, just in passing conversation, said something that altered the course of my life in some degree. I think I've shared this with you before, but when I was a teenager, I'd grown up in church. We had done a youth service one Sunday where, you know, members of the youth group did every part of the service. One read announcements, one did prayer, scripture, all that stuff. And I was the one who gave the sermon. I think it lasted 7 minutes. But I will never forget one of the men of our church that I held the utmost respect for came up to me afterwards and said, "Have you ever thought about being a preacher?" And my honest answer was, "Nope, not in a million years." I already had an idea of where my life was headed, and that wasn't it. But because of who he was, because of the respect that I had for him, and I think because the Holy Spirit inside resonated with what he was saying, that began a transformation in me. So that in a matter of months, I was applying to Bible college and I was convinced God has called me to the ministry. And I believe he used that individual as a voice to do that. Pay attention. When godly people say something to you, especially if it's something kind of out of the blue, not something you would necessarily expect maybe from that person, or not something that just goes with what you've been thinking or what you've been doing, God will use others to speak to us. And then a fourth way God speaks to us is through circumstances. And not always good circumstances. Sometimes God speaks to us through failure. Sometimes he speaks to us through a disappointment or a tragedy. And sometimes it is success, but we talked about this yesterday at our men's breakfast. Where do we learn the most? Is it in the victorious times or in the defeated times? We learn the most through our defeats. We seldom learn anything through our victories. We're just tempted to get proud then. God speaks to us through our circumstances. Now, some of those overlap the way that God spoke before in the Bible times, and it's true because it's the same God. He doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the God of the Bible is the God of today. And the God who spoke in the times of the Bible is still speaking today. He speaks through his word. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through other godly people, and he speaks through circumstances. Now, understand this, and I emphasize this to remember. God will never speak to us today in a way that contradicts his word. That's why I said first and foremost is the scripture. This is an objective source of truth. When I hear somebody come to me and say, "Well, God told me to," and then they go on to explain something that's clearly against the scriptures, that wasn't God speaking. You may have heard a voice, but it wasn't the voice of God. God will never contradict himself or contradict his word in something that he tells us today. Always, always, always remember that. Any message that we hear in our own selves or somebody else gives us or the way we're looking at circumstances, filter it through the scriptures. It must line up. This brings us then to the personal question. Am I listening to God's voice? Going back to the words of Dr. Nienkirchen, he says, "Much of our prayer resembles one hand clapping or half a circle. We have a full diet of speaking prayer, but give little place for listening prayer." God is not just an ear who listens, but also a voice who speaks. And if he never speaks, is it safe to say that he ever hears? A mute God can soon become an absent God. In fact, I would suggest that listening prayer gives rise to intercessory prayer, and that intercessory prayer inspires the listening prayer. And if you're not familiar with that term, intercessory prayer, that's where you're praying for someone else. You're an intercessor. You're praying on their behalf. In a healthy prayer diet, both individually and collectively in our churches, we need to have a completed circle which includes both listening and speaking prayer. In this way, we will know that what we are interceding for is indeed the will of God. Here is a definition of prayer. Prayer is simply being present with God. Speaking and listening to the Lord in a variety of ways best suited for each individual. Let me say that again. Prayer is simply being present with God. Speaking and listening to the Lord in a variety of ways best suited for each individual. Perhaps a well-intentioned person has given you their forms of prayer and told you that the form is the essence. The form is not the essence. The essence is inner communion and union with God. The forms can vary from person to person. I will admit, that really convicted me back then. And to some degree, it still does. How much of my prayer life is dominated by my own words? Do I give God a chance to speak to me? The scripture that was read earlier from Psalm 81 is really a sad saga of people who would not listen to God. And I want to go back to that as we close. Psalm 81, beginning in verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you, if you would but listen to me, O Israel. You shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Over and over and over, God is saying, why won't you listen? Oh, if you would just listen to me. And how often is he saying that to me? How often is he saying that to us? Please listen to me. Please hear my voice. Each of us needs to ask, Lord, have you been trying to tell me something that I desperately need to hear? Am I listening? I wonder how many times God has spoken, and we're just not listening. John White was an evangelical psychologist. And he wrote in a book called The Fight, it is God who wishes to establish communication. He is more anxious to speak to us than we are to listen to him. Wow. Let that sink in. God is more anxious to speak to us than we are to listen to him. He is incredibly persistent in trying to get through. Our real problem is that we tend to avoid listening to him. God said in Isaiah 28:23, listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. You see, the question is not, is God speaking, but rather, am I listening? Perhaps my responsibility is to believe he is speaking right now, and perhaps my job is to listen. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, throughout your word you have spoken, and more often than not, your people have failed to listen. May we not repeat that mistake. May we say with the boy Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." May that become the motto of our lives from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.